Mic check. 1, 2. 1, 2. I'm gonna go ahead and apologize in advance because it may give the sniffles. My allergies this morning. Wow, my voice too. My allergies this morning are most definitely beating me up, so I apologize in advance. I will try my best to keep my congestion down to a minimum. But I'm just gonna let you know now from the top that my allergies are tearing me up right now. But to get started, I wanted to read an excerpt from one of my favorite books. And I have been like, man, I feel like I need to start reading excerpts from some of my favorite books that kind of stick with me and that I carry with me on most days that help me to recenter myself with the present moment and align myself with myself. So let's see. When you are full of problems, there is no room for anything new to enter, no room for a solution. So whenever you can, make some room. Oh God, sorry. Make some room, create some space so that you can find the life underneath your life solution. Use your senses fully. Be where you are. Look around. Just look. Don't interrupt and don't interpret. See the light, the shapes, colors, textures. Be aware of the silent presence of each thing. Be aware of the space that allows everything to be. Listen to the sounds. Don't judge them. Listen to the silence underneath the sounds. Touch something, anything, and feel and acknowledge its being. Observe the rhythm of your breathing. Feel the air flowing in and out. Feel the life energy inside of your body. Allow everything to be within and without. Allow the isness of all things. Move deeply into the now. That's an excerpt from a book called The Power of Now, which is one of my favorite books. Probably right after The Four Agreements. And it's just basically reminding us to practice presence, to practice stillness, to practice being aware and surrounded by now, not letting ourselves get ahead of ourselves, not letting ourselves dwell on things that already happened in the past, but being present in the now. For me, I noticed that I have a tendency to not be in the now pretty often. I have to actively practice and intentionally choose the now in my day-to-day, which I have implemented in my schedule. Like I have an alarm on my phone that says to pause, to look around. What do I see? What do I taste? What do I smell? I did that practice on another episode. I do that with myself daily because I'm someone who just a year ago was dealing with anxiety attacks 2, 3 times out of the week. And because of the anxiety that I constantly felt, I It surrounded me, it engulfed me. Everywhere that I looked, it was there. Any thought that I was thinking, it was there. And doctors wanted to put me on medication for it. And I just, if you know me, you know, like, I don't take medicine. I don't like taking medicine. If I am taking medicine, it's literally because I feel like I have absolutely no other choice. So before I get to a point where I'm just gonna be like, you know what? Okay, I'm gonna take the pill. I try to find ways to heal myself or mend myself or go the natural route of healing. And one of the biggest things that I found with my journey of, I guess you could say, healing my anxiety or being able to be introduced to my anxiety. And typically, I don't say my anxiety, but I'm going to speak in as if I was in that time. Like, because I don't feel like anxiety is mine in the present. But at that time, I had to introduce myself to my anxiety. Because homegirl was taking up space in my mind, like she was an ex-girlfriend. Homegirl was sitting there, kicked up, laid out, got her fuzzy socks on, watching TV with me, laying down in the bed with me. When I'm cooking, she right there. When I'm going to sleep, she right there. So I'm like, I need to meet this young lady because she toxic. She's toxic. She's not helping me grow. She's not helping me progress. She's not contributing to anything in a positive way. She is being negative, and she is literally taking up too much space in my life. I know that we need to break up. And before we do break up, I need to observe the things that she is doing. And I need to make sure that I have replacements for her absence. Now, when I say that, it's almost like when you go through a traditional breakup, right? And this is how I am. This is how I make things logical for myself. Okay. I need to make things personified sometimes to realize how toxic or how bad they actually are for me. So when I looked at anxiety, I said, oh girl, you toxic. And you think you run something over here that's crazy. You trying to tell me what to do? You trying to control me? Oh, okay. Okay. Let's see. Okay. That's what you thought. Oh, okay. Cool. So I would notice in moments where anxiety would flare up in me. And I began to observe, what does anxiety smell like? What does anxiety feel like? What does anxiety sound like? Anxiety felt like tingling in my fingertips. Anxiety felt like a knot in my throat. Anxiety felt like, you know how people say a pit in your stomach? I felt a pit in my chest, like in my chest, this heavy load that was just weighing on me. Anxiety felt like loss of appetite. Anxiety felt like paralysis of my body. And anybody that knows me knows that I actually experienced paralysis before a few years ago. That's another story for another day. So when I experienced anxiety fed this thought of you can't move, you're stuck, which furthered the anxiety because I have been in a situation where I did not feel anything and I was stuck. And so it became fear that was being fed by more fear that was being fed by more fear that was being fed by unease and tension and worry. And I began to look at it and I'm like, okay, but the one thing that was a pattern with every situation that I felt anxious about was that I was not practicing presence with myself. I was getting ahead of myself. I was getting in my mind, or I was being my thoughts instead of the thinker of my thoughts. So if I felt worry, I became worry. If I felt fear, I became an embodied fear. And so I was like, all right, so first step, let's remember that we are not our feelings. We're the feeler of our feelings. We are not our thoughts. We are the thinker of our thoughts. Let's start there. Boom. Then it became, I could trace my thoughts to my anxiety being rooted in stress about what may happen, or stress about what could happen at any moment. Stress about feeling like I was losing control and that things would spiral. Now, the thing about that thought pattern is, now you're stressing about something that is non-existent. Now, you're overthinking and you're creating scenarios that have not happened yet. And you're giving negative possibilities or negative outcomes more power than your present reality. What if I fail? What if something happens? Oh my God, what if I, oh my God. Oh my God, I might lose my money. Oh, what am I going to do? Okay, what if you don't lose your money? What if nothing happens and all things flow? What if you'll be okay? And that kind of ties into the glass half full, half empty thing. I started noticing that when it came to my future, I felt like if I don't make the perfect necessary steps in this moment, my whole future is on the line. Now, my biggest fear as a child was missing a moment and missing my opportunity, right? Having something so close to me, whether it's in the same room as me, but or in close proximity to me, and missing it because I'm distracted by something. Like you could be setting yourself up for generational wealth if you just turn your head to the right and spark a conversation with this person who then says, oh, I have this and let's have a conversation about this and da da da. And I miss the moment because I'm distracted by looking to the left because I like trees and I see a tree outside that I like. It was stuff like that. Like as a child, that literally used to terrify me. Like, what if I miss my moment? Jesus. First of all, what's for you is for you. That's that, you know. But also, it was that wiring in my mind that I would give power. Like, what if, what if, what if? And then all of my what ifs were something bad. It was never, what if you walk into this room right now, your life forever changes for the good? What if you step into this place and opportunity just comes pouring down on you? What if? So because that was my way of processing and of thinking, I carried that into adulthood. And when you add responsibilities and obligations and work and workload and all of these things, trauma, to the plate, now the what ifs are just like tainted by fear, by sadness, by hurt, by pain. And so I had to identify the thoughts in my mind. I had to identify what I was giving my energy. Because in reality, when you're able to identify with the mind, and you sit there and your whole identity is connected with the mind, it gives your mind more energy, gives your thoughts more energy. But when you take a step back and you observe your mind, and you observe your thoughts, and you observe your feelings, it withdraws the energy from it. And when you get to a presence where you're able to withdraw from the thoughts that you're thinking and the thoughts that you consume yourself by and the thoughts that keep you crippled, you're able to practice presence. You're able to sit with yourself in the now and say, what's happening now? In this moment, am I a failure? No. In this moment, have I failed? No. In this moment, am I paying attention to my surroundings and paying attention to the now so that I don't miss anything? Because in reality, those very thoughts that I was thinking and the very things that made me afraid and made me feel nervous can be the very things that limit me or prevent me from receiving what I'm supposed to be receiving in the moment, because I'm not in the moment. The present moment is all we have. I know that a lot of us deal with anxiety, and I think a lot of us have dealt with society for a long time. But I think that culturally and societally, is that a word, societally? I don't know. As a society, culture has introduced certain language to certain things. I feel like I dealt with anxiety as a child, but I didn't realize that it was anxiety because I didn't have the language. But when you have the language, you're able to identify things clearer. And so I believe that we've normalized anxiety, especially as Black people, people of color. Like, there are certain things that we have to think about that our white counterparts don't have to think about that can cause anxiety in social spaces or from a economical standpoint or what have you. And although those things feel justifiable in the moment, it's like, don't give it too much power. Don't give it too much of your attention, because you're capable of experiencing another outcome than what you may be bracing yourself for. And in my detachment from my relationship with anxiety, one of the things that I noticed was a recurring theme for me is that I was attached to anxiety because of the familiarity of that relationship. And as I stated previously, just like going through any breakup, I had to realize the impact of that relationship on my life. And when you love yourself more, when you value yourself more, you appreciate yourself more, you want more for yourself. Functioning the way that you have for the past 10, 20, 2, 3 years, if you realize it's not actually making a positive impact on your life, you do what is necessary. You make the necessary adjustments to ensure yourself that you have something better and that you'll have something that'll be sustainable and healthy for you. In my final thoughts of anxiety, please note that anxiety is rooted in fear, but it is also rooted in the thought process of insecurity. And for me, I'm like, insecurity? What? I've never been insecure a day in my life. When you are someone who thrives in anxiety, when you're in an active relationship with anxiety, you are dealing with insecurity that is crippling you. Why insecurity? Because you're not confident in yourself and you're not confident in your future. You doubt yourself. You doubt that good things are coming, that good things can happen to you, that good things can happen for you. You doubt that you're equipped to handle whatever situations may come your way. And when you listen to those attributes or you listen to that description, that is not security. That is very much insecurity. So as you build your confidence in yourself and as you build love and respect and value with self, you will begin to see that the more secure that you become in yourself, the more confident that you are in yourself, is the less that anxiety feels like she has an invitation in your life. It's almost like an ex who thrives or prides on insecurity. When she sees that you're securing yourself, when he sees that you're securing yourself, now they feel like you're unattainable. She ain't gonna go for my antics anymore. You're absolutely correct. So take some time. If you're the person that deals with anxiety, that deals with stress, that is consumed by worry, practice presence. Practice being with yourself in the present moment and practice observing your thoughts. Before you let yourself spiral down an anxious lane, sit back and say, why do I feel this? Where is this coming from? Observe your feelings, observe your thoughts before giving them more power and letting them go on a rampage in your mind and take over your body. Because it starts in the mind before it manifests in the body. Anybody that has ever dealt with anxiety knows that anxiety can start with one thought that turns into 5,000 thoughts that then becomes a crippling manifestation in your physical body. So observe yourself. Turn your mind on. Turn your spirit on. Become aware. Don't just exist. Live. Become in tune with yourself enough to be able to identify, this isn't me in this moment. This is a thought. Be able to differentiate the two and take your power back. I challenge you to do that this week. The rest of the week, going into next week, because it's Thursday now. So, well, by the time this is released, it'll be Thursday. But for the next few days, especially, be intentional. Be intentional. Practice presence in the moment, thinking about what's happening now. What's real now? Who am I talking to now? Who's around me now? Why do I feel this way right now? Is it a past moment? Is it a present moment that I'm dwelling on? That's my challenge for you this week. And I hope that you know that you are capable of freeing yourself of the anxiety, of the overthinking, and you're able and you have the power within yourself to liberate yourself and offer yourself something new. You don't have to be in a toxic relationship with your thoughts, with your overthinking. You don't have to be in a toxic relationship with anxiety. You have the power and you have the opportunity in this moment to break up with those things and free yourself and offer yourself something better because that is what you deserve. And you want future you to be able to live with an experience that you right now actively chose. So be present.